And this message here, I kind of mentioned it a little bit to Judy. This, in fact, kind of was a message that I was led to after an event in my life, because usually a lot of times, messages that usually I come to write or to preach generally is life events. You know, I mean, this is why I know what I'm speaking again, because, you know, I dealt with it, gone through it, experienced it, you name it, you know. And a lot of times it's just an inspired message, you know. So a lot of times, but, you know, a lot of it's personal because I relate to it because, again, I lived it. You know, a pastor friend that used to train me always used to say, you know, sometimes, Jim, the best messages you can preach is the messages you either live, or you're going to go through, or you will experience, you know. So, and I kind of like, then I don't know if I want to preach, you know, so, but it does happen. So, with this, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you today, and we thank you again for allowing us to gather here. Thank you for this technology for us to gather together and speak your word, proclaim your word, and fellowship with one another. It is wonderful to use such things. Thank you for having a technician repairing his internet, because that took us offline for a while. But again, it was in your hands, so you knew what you was doing, and you led the guy to fix and correct the problem, and he went above and beyond and did what he did, so we thank you for that. Father, we ask of you to be with Lisa. I don't know what she's getting checked into or what. You know, maybe it's just a routine visit, but be with her and comfort her at this hour, because she is at the doctor's office, and help her, you know, what she's doing and the transition she's fixing to do. Her daughter's here, and her daughter's helping her to get ready to make a move, and there's going to be a big move in her life, but, you know, please help her have this stress-free. Bless all those who are here today. They could have went done other things. They could have went done their own little whatever they wanted to do, but they made a decision to join in fellowship to hear this word presented today, and we want to give all the honor and the praise and the glory to Jesus' name. In Jesus we pray, amen. Now listen to this one carefully. A young man came to a farm looking for work. So the farmer set him to the task immediately. He had a barn that needed painting. So the task was handed to the young man. And the farmer said to himself, oh, that's going to take him at least 3 days to finish that task. But in 2 days, the young man was finished. The farmer was very pleased, and he showered the young man with praise. Then he gives the young man the task of plowing the field, expecting the job to be done in 2 weeks. But to his surprise, 1 week, the job was completed. Now, the farmer thought to himself, now, you know what? At this rate, that young man soon will be out of work to do. So the farmer just recently harvested a bunch of potatoes. He had them stored in a big old barn. So he told the young man, he said, look, go in that barn. You can see it's packed full of potatoes. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to sort those potatoes in piles. One pile for the good ones. Another pile made of those which have begun to sprout. And a third consisting of those which were not good. He expected the young man to finish in a few hours. But at the end of the day, the youngster was far from finished. The farmer was astounded. He inquired of the young man what the problem was. After all, for much bigger task, he finished with remarkable speed. Why was this taking so long just for a simple task? The young man looked at him and he replied that he had a problem deciding which potato should be placed in each pile. Folks, when you think about that, we all make decisions. And many decisions we had made or done, or sometimes even said something wrong at times, we usually kind of think about it and we made a mistake. We should have never made that decision. Should have never done that. And on top of it, some decisions we made, we later regretted that we made those decisions. See, there's no doubt we all, and if we're honest with ourselves, there's no doubt that we all can remember making bad decisions in life or saying the wrong things or doing the wrong things. I'm one of them. I made many bad decisions. Wish I can take them back, but that's irrelevant. But some actions we done in our decision making were serious, while others were not. One thing we do know is we all have to live with the consequences of those decisions. We all have to live with the consequences of those decisions. So now the real question comes to mind. How does God relate to us when we make a mistake? How does God relate to us when we make a mistake? And better yet, would he hold it against us? Food for thought, isn't it? So if you got your Bibles, the scriptures is up there, you know, it scrolled up. We are in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. John chapter 21, verse 15 through 17. Listen to what it says. So when they have eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Then Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And this is why I titled this message, my friends, Living with Mistakes. Living with mistakes. And there are many mistakes that we make in life that can be undone. You know, we do make mistakes, and there are some that can be undone, but sometimes there are mistakes that cannot be undone. I'm not going to go off chasing rabbits, but see, that's why James, when you read the book of James, that's why he speaks so much about the tongue. Be careful what you speak. That little tongue is like a small little ember. It can start a roaring wildfire. It could burn down a great forest. Now, does that have anything to do with the lesson? A little bit. But see, the reason why I'm saying, sometimes we can make a mistake with our mouths by saying things we should not say and later regret it, but it cannot be undone. But see, there are many mistakes in life that can be undone, and that is what erasers are for. Y'all know what erasers is. You got a little chalkboard, draw it, and take an eraser, and you wipe it out. I wish all the mistakes that we made in life, we can just be like an eraser and erase it. But it don't work that way. We all make them. We all make mistakes, and what we do with them and how we learn from them is the key to living a Christian life. And there are many mistakes that can be overcome. And the point is, we all, everybody here today, we all make mistakes, and some of them are more public than others. But one thing for sure, we are in good company when we make mistakes. Now, when it happens, we may try to deny it. We may even call it something other than a mistake. If a driver makes a mistake, it's an accident. If a teacher makes a mistake, it's a new theory. If a barber makes a mistake, it's a new hairstyle. But when you try to deny our mistakes, that's when trouble begins. You get that? When you try to deny your mistake, that's when trouble begins. Look what 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. See, in this meaning, when you look at this particular passage, when we think we're doing all right, when we think we're doing good, you know what happens when you get to that position? When you start thinking that you're doing all right, you're okay? We stop being cautious. We let our guard down. And when that happens, we start to make mistakes. Psalms chapter 30, verse 6 and 7 says this. Now, in my prosperity, I said, I should never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. Folks, when you look at this passage, when you hear what I have said so far, the truth is, we stand or fall by the grace of God. You stand or fall by the grace of God. When we believe in ourselves and our prosperities and our abilities, that's when we make the most mistakes and we fall hard. Because see again, my friends, that's self. When we start to believe in self that we can do this and we can do that, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this, that's when you fall hard. That's when you're not learning true humility. That's when pride starts to take over. That's when mistakes really starts to pile up. Peter, when you think about it, my friends, and I love Peter. You know, I love the whole Bible, to be honest. But Peter, he's one of my favorite disciples. He was a guy that made mistakes. He made them, folks. Peter made a bunch of boo-boos. The one we just read, that was the boo-boo at all. Look what he did. He denied Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times. But you know what was the best part I love out of that passage of all? Jesus still loved him. Jesus still loved him regardless of his mistakes and his denial. Wow. And that's encouraging to me, my friends. That should be an encouragement to you. That should tell you, regardless of the mistakes you make, God still loves you. God will never forsake you. God will never leave you. God will not hide from you. Now, there are times God will go silent. That doesn't mean he's walked away. It just means he's watching you to see what you're going to do next. You see, when Jesus was telling his disciples that he was going to suffer in Jerusalem and be killed and raised again, look what old Peter does. Old Peter's response is, oh, God forbid it. I'm going to stand with you. That ain't going to happen, Captain. This will never happen to you. Never. But if you notice, Jesus' reply to him, is anything comforting? Listen to what Jesus told Peter. Get behind me, Satan. Now, could you imagine Peter's response? I mean, you know, if I'm standing, Lord, I ain't going to never let you fall in no trouble. I ain't going to never let you get harmed. I ain't going to never let you be taken. I ain't never going to let that happen. And all of a sudden, he turns around, points the finger at you, and said, get behind me, Satan. Can you imagine how you're going to react to that? What? Man, I'm standing up for you, and you're rebuking me? What gives? See what happened here, my friends? What happened here, Jesus was correcting Peter because Peter was seeing things from a human point of view and not from God's point of view. Peter was not looking at the heavenly things. Peter was not looking at God's view, God's plan. Peter was looking at things on a human level. See, that's the prayer me and my wife pray every morning. God, help us look to you in heavenly things and not of things in this world. I pray that every day with her, me and her both. And the reason why I pray that, because again, I'm not trying to rely on earthly things. I don't want to rely on earthly things. In fact, I'm going to tell you straight up, I don't care about earthly things. I got some Christian friends of mine a little bit upset with me because, again, they act like, well, Jimbo, you ain't so concerned about this. You ain't so concerned about that. You ain't worried about so-and-so up there and watching and this and that. No, I'm not, because, again, God clearly says in his word that he has it all covered. Why should I worry about such things? It tells us not to concern ourselves with things. We need to be focused on the heavenly things. I'm not going to allow myself to get caught up on all that stuff. Because like Peter, he was seeing things on a human level too. He was not looking at God's point of view. You see, all this stuff that's happening, all the things that's going on in the world, all the things that's going on in politics, all the things that's going on all around us, that's God's plan. So why should we get all upset about it? Okay, you know what? Well, we should be done. We should be preaching more Jesus and less worrying about the things of the world. Which brings me to this point. How would you feel? Listen to this carefully. Okay? How would you feel if your mistake were made a stumbling block for Jesus? Think about that one. How would you feel if your mistake was a stumbling block for Jesus? Even Paul himself made mistakes. How so? Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 19. He tells us right here. For the good that I will do, I do not. But the evil I will not do, that I practice. Say what? Well, that's got to be a misprint. Folks, it's not. Paul is saying, for the good that I will do, I do not do. But the evil I will not do that I claim I'm not going to do, I do. Sounds like us, doesn't it? And that's why I love this passage. I love a lot. See, we all struggle. All of us. And if somebody out there want to make a claim that I don't struggle, again, then you know what? I'm just going to shake my head at you because, again, we all struggle. Paul knew the difference between right and wrong. He knew it. He was preaching it. He was teaching it. He should have known better, just like Peter. Peter was with the Lord and seen everything that Jesus did, and Peter should have known better, but he didn't. Paul should have known better. He knew the difference between right and wrong, but he still made mistakes. he still chooses to do the wrong things. So when we make a mistake, and we do, we need to understand that we are in good company. You see, my friends, when you make a mistake, you need to understand you are in good company. But at the same time, we need to learn from our mistakes. We need to learn from them. We need to grow from them. We need to understand what was the problem from them. And in doing so, and doing self-evaluation of those mistakes and learning from those mistakes and knowing those mistakes, what they caused and how they made us stumble, we should, in fact, strive to do better next time. We should strive to do better next time. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. What I hope for in this message, this is what I was hoping for. Because it speaks to me because I made many mistakes. What I hope for in this message today and what we can get out of it is that we shouldn't wallow in the misery of our mistakes. We should not get into that self-pity mode. We should not get, oh man, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done it. Oh, we shouldn't go in our corner. We shouldn't cry. We shouldn't. No, don't wallow in your mistakes. Don't wallow in that misery. Instead, what we need to do, we need to let our mistakes be a stepping stone to victory and press on. We need to let our mistakes be a stepping stone to victory and press on. Look, we all made mistakes. We all make them. And we do so in life. And when we make mistakes, a lot of times we generally say this. I know I do. Whenever I make a mistake, I generally say, if only I would have done it that way. If only I would have done it that way. And what happens at that particular point, we end up like well, I don't know if anybody still uses them today, VCRs, but now they got Blu-rays, you know, and CDs. We generally rewind it back to that scene to see, hey, wait a minute, didn't I just see that? And you rewind, and you rewind, and you rewind, and you rewind. You look at it over and over and over and over and over. So when we make a mistake and we say, I wish I would have done it this way, we generally start playing that in my mind, and we start replaying the things that we did wrong in our mind over and over and over and over. And then we think about it, how we should have done differently. And look, okay, that's good sometimes. It's good to examine that mistake to a certain point. Don't let it consume you. Don't get caught up in that thing over and over like a washing machine. Or don't get caught up like you're in a dryer in a fast spin cycle. It's good to look at it sometimes to see, well, you know, what do I learn from that mistake? Because, see, you got to understand, when you get into that cycle, that's what we call in clinical terms rumination. You're ruminating in your mind over and over and over and over. And that rumination leads to ruinization. It'll ruin you. It'll drag you down. It'll crash you spiritually. Don't ruminate on those mistakes. Truth is, if we try to follow Christ, if we study His Word and do what He says, then His truth will set you free. But folks, you got to understand this. We must do more than acknowledge the truth. We must do more. We must follow it. We must pursue it. Then and only then can we break the cycle of mistakes and failures in our lives. And when we do fail, we can have the confidence to keep trying. If we hold on to Christ, and give our lives to Him, He promised us that His Holy Spirit will dwell within us. And when we have the power of the Holy Spirit, sometimes we see that mistakes. Listen to this carefully, because I don't want you to get this wrong. When you and I have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, sometimes we see that mistakes can be a good thing. Sometimes mistakes can be a good thing. Why? To me, it's very simple. Whenever we make mistakes in life, we need to let them be a place of learning. We need to learn from it. And most important, we need to love each other and look past those mistakes that you make. You need to learn to love each other and look past the mistakes that you make. You need to look past the mistakes I make. That is the true way of following God. That's truly walking in the Spirit. And if you're not doing that, then something's wrong. And then if you are in the Spirit and you're looking past the mistakes of that person, then whatever error we see, we need to replace it with truth. And that means we need to examine our hearts. So whatever error we see within ourselves, we need to replace it with truth. And whatever we do, we need to live by faith to look past our mistakes, to look past other people's mistakes. We all make them. Because faith, at times, will tell us that we do make mistakes, and the same faith will tell us that God will see us through it. Then, with God's help, once we make a mistake, or if you see a brother and sister that makes a mistake, this is what you need to do. If you're truly allowing yourself to be led by the Holy Spirit, and with God's help, what you need to do, what we need to do, we need to restore, we need to support, and we need to strengthen each one of us when mistakes happen. And if we are led by God to love and look over those mistakes, then He will place us on a firm foundation with Him and His Spirit. When you know someone who's made a mistake, don't condemn them. Don't chastise them. Don't cast them out. Restore them. Support them. Strengthen them. And love them. We all make mistakes. If God can look past my mistake, so should you. Amen. Let's pray.